There is a song that keeps running through my mind. Comes from a very famous Broadway play called A Chorus Line. You might recognize it. I'll sing a little bit of it for you. Well, the whole song, actually. Don't laugh at me. It goes like this. Who am I anyway? Am I my resume? That is a picture of a person I don't know. What do they ask of me? What should I try to be? So many faces all around, and here we go. I need this job. Oh God, I need this show. And then, as you know, the chorus line is about all of these great dancers working and striving and struggling, performing to best that they can so that they can live their dreams, so that they can actually move from a place of performing to a place of being when the dancer becomes the dance. This is a journey for them, but I also think that it is not only a journey for them, it is also a journey for each and every one of us who comes onto this earth, into this existence, you see, because we too are moving through this time and space, trying to move from a place of performing to a place of being. And it's amazing because we really can't say what it is that is doing this. No matter how we study it scientifically or mystically or whatever way possible, we cannot say what it is that is causing us to move through time and space, moving from that which is ordinary to that which is superb, that which is simple to that which is complex. When we begin to look at the journey of the human being, the human soul, the human spirit, whatever one would like to call it, we see something strange happening. First of all, we see two people coming together, two loves coming together, two cells from the human body doing what goes against all nature, destroying themselves, merging together, destroying that which makes them unique, and bringing two loves, two beings actually together as one physical entity. And then these cells are dividing and dividing within the womb until something happens when the cerebral cortex and the spinal column and all of that part of the body has developed. Something happens that the Aborigines used to call the quickening, when the I am experience, something comes within those cells that makes it an individual being, but still connected to the mother, connected to the line from which it comes, totally connected, not another being within a being, but part of that being, receiving all of the experiences, all of the thoughts, all of the ideas, everything that is happening within that mother being passed right into the child. But the child is pre-verbal. It is in a state of being. Many people call it being in the om state. It is in a state of existence. No words, no pictures, just being, just experiencing. Just feeling, experiencing the world through different chemical changes and hormonal changes and vibes, but picking up thoughts and ideas that is preparing it to move from the womb out into the world in which we live. And so this journey takes place, and this journey brings it out of the womb into a place of fear, uncertainty. It's a place where the body can barely move. It's a place where whatever is in this child is totally lost. But there is this creative power and this creative energy that is still moving it towards a sense of being, moving it through the world as it begins to pick up thoughts and ideas and feelings and to begin to create something within itself that allows it to work in the world in which it finds itself. And so new neural patterns start to develop. The child learns to move, it learns to think, it learns to feel by receiving the vibes, the feedback from whatever culture, whatever family it finds itself in. It actually begins to create a mind, to create an ego, to create a matrix, a formulation of how the world is. And then what happens is on that matrix, it begins to build thoughts and ideas that support its ideas of the world. This is the first I, as the child begins to build these thoughts and ideas, what happens is it selectively begins to listen to things that come in that will help it build itself up and strengthen itself and formulate more ideas, and at the same time, those things that wouldn't do that are shoved down into a part of the mind that we know of as the shadow now. And so there's a sort of a selective perception that takes place during that time in order to formulate who and what we will be. During this time, part of the mind develops, which is known as the sensor, according to Lacanian psychology. And what the sensor's job is to find that matrix, to find what that idea about the world is, and to freeze it there so that it doesn't change, so that the ideas that are taken in the conscious are the ones who support that. The other ones are shoved down into this subconscious. And from this ego starts to develop. We get an idea of who we are. And then what happens from the ego is that we begin to form this creative mask, this persona. And we begin to think that this persona is who and what we really are. And that's where the damage comes in. That's where the trouble comes from. When we believe that we are the mask, we are the name of the person we've been given, we are the identity that we have taken on. And we begin to fight and die in order to protect that mask and that persona. We are fearful because if that thing ever slips aside, we'll be vulnerable. We might be killed, we might pass away, so we protect that mask at all costs. And if we look at all of the problems in the world, all the violence, all the wars, all of the isms, we can see that it's all about protecting this mask that was created long ago and supported by selectively listening to thoughts and ideas and getting rid of all the other thoughts and ideas that just didn't fit in. These other thoughts and ideas are threatening. So we fight against them without even really knowing it, because what these other ideas remind us of are all of those ideas in the shadow that have been packed down there that threaten to destroy the identity that we have adopted. So the problem is that this ego begins to create this mask, and then the ego becomes a slave to the mask. So everything that this ego decides is not supporting itself or life, it is supporting this mask, supporting the idea of who we are instead of us being who we are. And so we perform in accordance to who we think that we are. Sometimes, however, during life, horrible things happen. We have many struggles. Sometimes that mask is broken or cracked. We talk of these things as if they're negative experiences, but it's as if the universe is trying to shake us, to break us free of this illusion about who we are, to get rid of this first I. This is the one that is known of as the I that is the I that we speak of, the spoken I, the I that we speak of when we're, say, at a party or we're at coffee hour or something and we're feeling miserable, angry. Somebody says, "How are you doing?" And we smile and we say, "Oh, I'm feeling fine." We know that we're not feeling fine. We don't even know why we say we're feeling fine when we're feeling miserable. It's because of this mask and us supporting that mask. But what is necessary in order for there to be peace, not only on the earth, but within ourselves, is to realize that we were the creators of this mask and that we have many masks, and it's time for us to decide what mask we want to reinforce, or even if we want to keep any mask. This means delving into what is the second I. This is the spoken, the speaker. This is the one who is speaking when it says, "I am fine." This is the ego, the superego, all of those elements of the mind working together in order to keep supporting this mask. And sometimes we think that we are the ego. But if we look at social psychology and many mystical religions and theories, we find that the ego is not some separate entity within itself. What the ego is a creation brought about through our socialization. Many of the thoughts, many of the ideas, and many of the images that were planted in our minds very early on are what our ego consists of. It is said that most children, by the time they are four, have seen about 40,000 commercials with images, thoughts, and ideas passed on to their small mind before they can protect themselves, that tells them who they should be, what they should look like, what kind of car they should drive, what kind of job they should have. And this creates a level of dissatisfaction that I think that all of us suffer. And so we find ourselves striving and fighting like crazy to perform the best that we can, and we think, well, we're just doing this because we've decided it's something that we have to do, when in actuality we've been socialized to do that, and we are drawing on ideas and thoughts and premises that were put in our heads by the society in which we live. But this isn't bad, you see, because whatever this creative nature is within us has done this on purpose. Because we need to be able to survive, to live in whatever world we find ourselves in. The problem is that our idea of the world is often too small. It's based on what we learned when we were 2, 3, 4 years old, and we're still holding on to that. And instead of breaking free of it, we're trying to twist it and spread it and adapt it to fit all things, when it is time to really break free of it. It's time to let it go. But that is the most frightening thing, because the ego then thinks that it is going to die. And that creative part of ourselves that created the ego has also forgotten who it was. It has become the servant of the ego. And so what needs to be done is to get beyond that to what is the third eye. This corresponds to opening the third eye in a spiritual sense, but the third eye is actually the eye of awareness. Many people have experienced it. Most people can't talk about it. They can't say what it is. But we notice the eye of awareness, especially when we begin to meditate. Notice that if you sit and you meditate, there are all of these feelings and all of these voices coming up in the head, almost like a whirlwind. And people try to quiet these voices and order to get into a meditative state, but it doesn't work most of the time. A lot of the things that people say when they meditate are that, well, I try to meditate, but I can't because I can't quiet my voices. During this time, we are in contact with what is known as the eye of awareness, because we begin to realize that all of those voices coming up are not who we are. They are not our voices. They are the thoughts and ideas that we had adapted in order to hold on to. They are like many, many recordings, many, many experiences that are floating around in the mind constantly in order to keep us in stasis, in order to maintain this thing that we call an ego. And so other voices are coming up, but who we really are not those voices. We're not the ones who are trying to stop those voices. We are the one who is aware of the struggle that is going on. This is known as the eye of awareness. We've all experienced this. Sometimes when we're playing sports or something, we just get this total run where everything is going perfectly and our mind is out of the way. Or when we're out with friends in the night talking and all of a sudden, all inhibition is gone, and we are living right there, right now. And there is this unspeakable joy in everything. When we're walking on the beach or when we're going on a mountain, we feel this experience, and we know that we are greater than we say we are and think we are. We know that, and there's nothing that can tell us that we're not. This is what is known as the eye of awareness. This is who and what we truly are. This is the state of being that the struggle in A Chorus Line was all about. For when those people got on that stage and did that dance, they were being what they truly were. And it doesn't have to be dancing. It can be doing anything that we love, that we can partake of fully when we let go of all of those voices that are telling us we're not doing it right. We have to do it better. We have to perform. We move into this state where we perpetuate this love and this beauty just by being who we are. The third eye, the eye of awareness, is who we are. And when we reach that state, we can put on any mask we need to put on. We can reshape the ego as we need to, because the ego, in fact, is being reshaped every day by those who are open. There are many theories about the sharing of thoughts and ideas where they say that we actually come together, and if we have true dialogue, new thoughts and ideas are coming into our minds every moment, and thoughts and ideas are going out, so that our ego is being reshaped over and over every day unless we learn to totally ignore these thoughts and ideas. And so the ego is not stationary. We think that it's permanent. We fight to keep it permanent, but nothing is permanent. And we ourselves are this essence of change, this creative nature that has been around for such a long time, from the time on this earth when we had some lipids and some proteins in this bubbling soup come together, and somehow they created something that survived, something that took in enough energy so they didn't turn solid, something that let go of enough energy so that it didn't explode, and then on one little strip of protein, it wrote the history of itself. It wrote instructions on how life could continue. And that very life within that cell is the very life that is within each and every one of us, this spirit of life. And we can be channels of the spirit of life if we can get rid of all of the thoughts and ideas and the false masks that have been forced on us, created for us by a society that was put together before we were born. If we can get rid of these things, we will be free to change the world. New thoughts and ideas will not threaten us, because we will know who and what we are. And instead of performing, we'll be in a state of being. Thus the word human being becomes a reality. And when we reach that state, we can choose what direction to go into. We can accept ourselves if we succeed. We can accept ourselves if we fail, knowing that every movement, every action is something that is causing us to grow, to experience, to become more aware, and to open that box and let out a wonderful, beautiful self. The self that is spoken of in many religions but often ignored, especially in mystical traditions, even by the Apostle Paul. There's a verse by the Apostle Paul where he says, "Right now we look in a smoke-colored mirror, but then we shall see him face to face, and we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, this was the person that Paul was saying was equal to God. What is he saying to us if we will be like him? It is saying that we are that which we are looking for. We are moving through time and space to awaken to the fact that we don't have to argue about the existence of any higher power or lower power, because that is what we are, that we are this very universe moving in time and space right now. We are not separate from it. We are part of it. And just like us, this universe right now is still expanding, still growing. Creation is not something finished. It is growing towards something that no one can say. And so are all of us. We are doing the exact same thing as we live our lives. And so my suggestion is, instead of waiting, instead of performing like chorus line so that they get to the end and they get a chance to be who they are, we can stop that by being who and what we are right now. Because in truth, most of the ones who really got chosen for those dances were those who learned to put aside performing. And you could see that they were the dance. And when we learn to do that in any venue we are in, when we learn to be the beauty, the wonder, the grace, the power, the teacher, the lawyer, the bookmaker, whatever there is, when we learn to be that, we will have arrived. And the third eye, in several senses, in the mystical sense, and also in the realization that we are this eye of awareness, will be open for all the world to see. That is when we move from just being human to being human and divine. For in the old book of Genesis, it said that at the beginning of time, God took the earth and breathed the spirit into that earth. And it said that the earth and the spirit combined and became a living soul. And so what does that mean? It means that we are the creative energy moving through time and space in a body, but we are that. Amen. Thank you.